Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I have two very wonderful friends, very special people who are in the studio with me today. Mike and Barb Cox have been here at the ranch for a number of years, and now they've retired. And so they are no longer employees of mine, and they can say anything they want. And it'll have no repercussions except that they'll have to answer to God. So in any case, I'm so glad that they are here. And I want to take this opportunity to thank them, as I have done before, for the wonderful, wonderful way that they served the Lord Jesus Christ by taking care of children here at Ware's Valley Ranch. Now, Mike, where were you all living before you came to the ranch?
We were from Crawfordsville, Indiana, about 40 miles west of Indianapolis.
And what were you doing for a living?
I was running a crane at Nucor Steel there, and a great job. I'd been doing that for about 8 years.
And Barb, what were you doing before you came to the ranch?
I was a teacher in the public school system. I was a special ed teacher the last 7 years.
And you actually have an advanced degree in that, don't you?
Yes.
So, God brought you here to the ranch, and I think you would agree, and looking back, you felt at the time that God was calling you to do this, and now that you are leaving, you look back, do you feel God brought you here?
Oh, absolutely. No question.
Praise the Lord. Well, we believe that too. We definitely believe it was of the Lord. Now, when you first came, it was with the expectation that you would be living in one of the boys' houses. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. We when we interviewed, we went in and ate with the boys at Oak Rise, and that's where we thought we were going.
And then it turned out we needed you to come and be in a girl's house instead. And you said, no, we'll just stay here in Indiana. Is that right? Or what was your response?
No, I remember that phone conversation like it was yesterday. Mr. Andrew called me, and we were driving between Ladoga and home. And he called me and said, told us the situation. He goes, would you be willing to take a girl's house? We said, we'll do whatever you want.
Praise God. That has been the attitude we've seen time and again. As Mike and Barb said, we're here to serve. We are here because God brought us here. We want to do what's needed. And let me tell you, they were spectacular house parents. Their girls loved them, absolutely adored them. And then after they were settled in, doing a great job, the girls loved them, they loved the girls, we had a need in the boys' house. We had a couple that we could put to take care of the girls, but we didn't have anybody that we could put in with the boys. And I knew that Mike and Barb could handle that. So I went to them and asked them if they would be willing to move over to the boys' house.
Actually, the way that went, we were having a meeting, and I asked you guys, I said, what do you think about us going to the boys' house? And you said, we've been thinking about it and praying about it, but we just hadn't asked you. I said, well, we will if you want us to.
Praise the Lord. And you did.
Yep.
You went to the boys' house and did a stellar job there. So you were here as house parents over 3 years. And during that time, you had the opportunity to impact a lot of boys and girls. And even the girls who had been in your home, when you moved over to the boys' home, part of what helped those girls was the fact you were still here, still on campus, still part of the larger ranch family, and they were able to see you. Now, when the boys found out that you were going to be leaving the boys' home, one of the things that was very important to them was if they were going to still see you again. And I know that some of the boys had really connected with your grandson. And so the question that one of them asked you was, will I still get to see
Enzo?
And what was your response?
Barb's planning on babysitting and watching him, so he said, when you come over to see us, then you'll get to see Enzo.
And that was a great encouragement. It's very important that these children have a continuity of care, and I haven't checked the stats now in probably more than 10 years, but the last time I checked the statistics, the average tenure for house parents at a residential facility in the United States was 6 months. That's not stable. That's not a good situation. And that's average. There are a lot of folks who don't last 6 months. It is a very challenging position. And yet what these children desperately need is some continuity, some stability, because most of them have not experienced that prior to coming into residential care. So what you have provided for these children has been a season in their lives when things were stable, things were safe, and the atmosphere was nurturing. We had two boys who left here last year, and I asked them, what are you guys going to miss the most? And I thought they'd say, Pastor Wood, it's your devotions. I just.
No, that's what we're going to miss the most.
Oh, bless you. Well, thank you. But I asked those boys, what are you going to miss the most? And I wouldn't have been surprised if they'd said rec, or if they'd said Miss Barb's cooking, or, you know, something along those lines. They said Miss Barb's teaching. Because Miss Barb is a gifted teacher. And as you heard, she was teaching before she came here. But then when she came here, she continued to use that gift. And it is a gift. It's not just something people are trained to do. It's a gift from the Lord. If you look at the qualifications in Scripture for an elder, you got to be the husband of but one wife. You got to be a one-woman man. And you have to be gifted to teach. And unfortunately, not everybody who gets into that position within the church is gifted. But you are an individual, not the husband of a wife, but you are an individual who has been gifted by God and called by God. And I am confident the Lord's going to continue to use your gifting, even as you work with your grandson, even as Enzo experiences that kind of nurture and teaching. And I'm very grateful for that. You've made a real difference, both of you. And you who are listening by radio, obviously, can't see this couple. But let me tell you, they are beautiful people. And Mike is kind of a gentle giant. How tall are you, Mike?
I'm about 6'2".
Only 6'2". Only. Yeah, well, I'm 6 feet, and I feel like Mike is way taller than I am. But Mike is a dear, gentle, strong man's man. And these kids, both the boys and the girls, have needed that. They need to see what it looks like to have a man who is very manly and yet clearly loves Jesus, loves his wife, and loves them. And Mike has provided that in spades. He's been a great role model for these kids, and we will always cherish that and thank God for that. And I have asked these folks to please not become scarce. You're moving how far away from the ranch at this point?
Just 30 minutes.
30 minutes away. And so that means you can still commute over here. You're here today. You're here today. And you didn't have to come in for work or anything like that. You came in at our request in order to record this interview. And so I want you to know we are very, very thankful. You've been personally, not only with your time, but even with your finances, very generous to the ranch. And folks, let me tell you, that is a huge encouragement to me. When you found a ministry and you run a ministry, and then you find folks who not only are willing to give of themselves in terms of time and labor, but then turn around and invest back into that ministry because they believe in what this ministry is about. That is a great encouragement to me. And I want both you, Mike, and Barb to know that really touched my heart and my wife's heart that you would invest in the ranch the way that you have. And we are confident that the same God who called us to do this work and who brought you here to be a part of this work with us will reward you richly for your kindness and generosity and faithfulness. And I would ask our listeners to pray God's blessings on you as you start a new chapter. And we'll be, again, I'm very grateful to say close by, but we want you folks to know that we are grateful and that folks out there who listen to this, many of them pray faithfully for the ranch, and I'm asking them to pray for you as well, so that as you leave the ranch, you still have a lot of prayers going up on your behalf.
Thank you.
Now, Barb, several of your kids have moved to this area. Is that right?
Yes,
more than one?
Two daughters just outside of Knoxville, Seymour, where we're going to be, about 10 minutes away.
That's great. And they were not living in this area when you came here.
No.
So it turns out you were able to persuade them not only that it's good to be close to you, but that this is a nice place to be.
Definitely. It's gorgeous down here.
I want all of our listeners who think God might be calling them to East Tennessee to realize God might be calling you to East Tennessee. If you're going to be called somewhere, this is a very lovely place to be called. And you need to go wherever God sends you, wherever on earth God wants you to serve. I'm so thankful God did not send me to Antarctica to have a ministry among scientists. But God has placed us here in a beautiful place, and we serve children from all over the United States. Kids come from all around the country, and that's part of the beauty of this place, is that our staff and our students are a very diverse group from all over the country, brought here, assembled here by God in order to be a beautiful patchwork of His grace. Each with your own story. Mike, if you would share a little bit of how you came to know Christ.
I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a Baptist preacher. And so I've been in church since I was probably 3 or 4 days old. And so I've always heard it. But the thing that really sticks out in my mind, my dad died when I was 7. Mm. And another preacher came in and was preaching. I remember going forward because I was convicted and I didn't think I was saved. And he went through the plan of salvation again. I said, I've already done that. I've already asked Jesus to come in my heart and save me. And he goes, well, then you need to just accept that. So that's what I really, what really sticks out in my mind was that next preacher that come in after my dad had died.
And he really helped you to get grounded in your faith.
Oh, yeah. And my mom was very, very, I couldn't say enough how influential she was in my life. Just a good Christian woman, raised 6 kids by herself for 5 years after my dad died. Mm. And she was an awesome lady, prayed all the time for me.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, God answered those prayers, and you have given abundant evidence, consistent evidence of God's work in your life. So I was also a preacher's kid who got saved early, and I'm very grateful for the fact that God spared me a lot of things by having drawn me to Himself when I was young. Barb, if you would share a little bit of how you came to know the Lord.
Well, I too was raised in a Christian home, and about age 11, I remember it was Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. I went forward and accepted Christ, and that was the best day of my life.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, folks, it's not about what we do. Some people think that in order to be saved, you've got to have a pretty spectacular past of sin where, you know, I was the assassin for a motorcycle gang and dealing drugs, smuggling them in from Mexico and all this sort of thing. And then I met Jesus. Well, okay, if that's your testimony, praise the Lord. I'm glad He saved you. But some of us got saved when we were kids. And that too is salvation, because all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us deserve God's wrath. But when the Lord in His mercy shows you that in childhood, shows you your own sinfulness and your need for a Savior, and grants you the grace to repent and ask Jesus to save you, that is just as glorious, because the fact is, I heard someone say years ago, I've been delivered from alcoholism and drug addiction and prostitution. God kept me from ever getting involved in those things. Mm-hmm. And that is a true testimony. It's saying you don't have to get into that stuff in order to be delivered from it. I know folks who have been involved in all kinds of criminal activity. They've had all kinds of addiction issues with substance abuse, pornography, been involved in all kinds of things, and God saves them. And that is glorious. But let me tell you, some of you are listening out there and you're saying, I'm not sure I've ever been saved because I never did anything bad enough. Well, let me tell you, you have too. You just don't realize what a horrible problem sin is. Because pride, self-righteousness, those kinds of sins are at the heart of our problem. And so whatever your particular issue is, if you're listening to me today and you say, well, you know, I'd like to serve God, but I don't know if God could use someone like me. Well, is it because you think you've done something so terrible that God can't forgive you? He can, and He will, if you repent and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or is it because, like me, like Barb, like Mike, you look back on your life and say, well, you know, I pretty much grew up going to church, and I came to faith at an early age, and I've really tried to live for the Lord and do what I thought He wanted me to do, and that just kind of seems ho-hum. That's not ho-hum. That's glorious, and God can use you. So whatever your background, realize that God has a purpose for you. God has a way of using you and plugging your strengths, your abilities, your background into the lives of other people where you can make a difference. Mike and Barb have made a huge difference here, and we are extremely grateful, always will be. I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this today and you've never visited the ranch's website, check us out. Go to wvr.org. You'll probably see a picture of Mike on the homepage. But folks who are listening right now and they say, you know, I can't come and work at the ranch. I can't be a part of that. Obviously, they can give. And that is a huge help because we don't get any government funds at the ranch. And we don't incur any debt at the ranch. We operate on the basis of donations that come in. And God is faithful, but we need for the Lord to continue to move on the hearts of people to give financially. But the other thing that is absolutely essential to this ministry's success and that God has helped us with from the start is the intercession of people out there who get a burden for Ware's Valley Ranch, and they begin to pray. What would be some things that you would say the listeners could pray about and pray for as they pray for the staff and as they pray for the students?
One of the things that comes to mind is the kids just got back off of a break, and we really turn up our prayers right before they go home, just that they will live and be an example and not fall back into the old things that it's easy to do that. I mean, even me going to my kids and my family, it seems like you let your guard down as a Christian, and we really pray and lift them up that that God would use them in a positive way to be a positive example to their unsaved friends and stuff, instead of being a follower, to be a leader in that.
Amen. Amen. Barb?
I guess what comes to mind is just even after I was saved, I made, you know, many mistakes, and just that God would convict them, those that have claimed salvation, just that mm-hmm. God would convict them of, like Mike said, to just lead a pure life and live for Him.
Amen. Amen. Because it's one day at a time. You know, for all of us, we should never think. The Bible says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And, you know, that's a warning to all of us who are in Christ, people who are believers, saints of God. We have the capacity still to mess up, to do the wrong thing, and we need not only God's grace to forgive us and to cleanse us, but we need God's grace to keep us. And so I would encourage you who are listening, pray for these children and pray for the house parents. Did y'all ever get tired when you were house parents?
I was just thinking that too. Pray for the house parents to not to get caught up in results with the kids. I think myself, you know, you get, you know, one of the kids gives you a hard time and is rebellious or does whatever, but to look at the big picture and that God is working no matter what you're really seeing in front of you, but just pray for the house parents, definitely.
Amen. Have you seen some kids who've improved while they've been in your care?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to name any names, but just that's what is so awesome in this job is to see that, or, you know, hear one of the girls left and she just got saved, and hearing stories like that just gives you a big boost.
Amen. Amen. Folks, again, I want to encourage you to go to the website, wvr.org. If you have questions about the ministry, hopefully they're answered there on the website. If they're not, you are welcome to email us. You can connect with us through the website. You can call us toll-free at 866-41-ABIDE. And you can also ask online, could I get a copy of your financials? Can I get more information about your program? Some of you who are listening right now may know a child who would benefit from the program here at Ware's Valley Ranch. We have several children who are going to be coming to us after Christmas, and those kids have been waiting for an opportunity to come, and they've been told that they're going to be allowed to come at the start of the new year. And so we have several children who are in the process of coming to the ranch right now. And so we accept children year-round based on openings and based on staffing and based on the need of the child. So if you know a child who needs the services of this ministry, please let us hear from you. Put them in touch with us. And the guardian has to be willing for the child to come. But we've never turned a child away on the basis of finances. And the child has to be willing to come. Every now and then I go down to the admissions office and I'm supposed to interview some student who's a prospective student, and child looks at me and says, there's no way I'm coming here. And I say, you're exactly right. There is no way you're coming here. And they say, what do you mean? And I say, we don't take kids who don't want to come here. If you don't want to come here, don't worry. Nobody's going to hogtie you and bring you here. And if you come here and you develop a really sour attitude and you don't want to be here and this place is terrible and I just want to leave, we'll help you pack. So don't think that this is a place for delinquent kids. It's not. This is not a drug treatment facility. This is not a facility for kids who are out of their minds. This is a facility for children who have a problem in the home that they didn't create. And sometimes those problems are related to the health of a parent or a job situation with a parent. Sometimes it's because of other family dynamics in the home. Whatever the circumstances might be, we work with each family, and we work with a lot of families whose children are not able to come here, but we're able to help them find other places that would be better suited for that child's needs. So please let us hear from you. And know that we would really appreciate it if God hears from you and you pray on our behalf. We've got hundreds of people who've committed to pray every day for Ware's Valley Ranch, and I would appreciate it if you'd be one of them. So let us hear from you, and we'll be grateful. God bless you, Mike and Barb. God bless you. Thank you so much for the great work you've done. Please continue to pray for us. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I am surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, possums and skunks. And just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary that were chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you'll hear every time is God's Word. God's eternal, inerrant Word, which points us to Jesus and teaches us to trust Him. I'm delighted to partner with the Wilkins Network in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org.